Christian Church Disciples of Christ, Monday Manna Bible Study, and we are here tonight waiting for you to join us.
All right. Well, it's a rainy day here today, but we're certainly grateful for God sustaining us. This is the 17th day of June, and I tell you, we're halfway through this month, Lady Kim, but we thank God for his keeping power, and we thank him for including us in his plan for this day. And in spite of the rain, we have a right, a reason, and a responsibility to rejoice and be glad in this day. And we praise God for each of you. Even as you're joining us, let us know you're getting a clear signal and that you can hear us as we prepare for this time together tonight. Leviticus chapter 25 tonight for our study, a very interesting chapter, a lot of information there. Some of it is very familiar, but we're going to see if we can make our way through that 25th chapter of Leviticus tonight. And we're certainly grateful for each of you as you continue to participate and be a part of this study that happens each Monday at 6 p.m. I'm sorry, Central Standard Time. And so we have several mediums where people are viewing, and we hope that you can give us a clear indication that you can hear and see us as we prepare for this time together tonight. Well, let's have a word of prayer as we get ready to jump in. Lady Kim is ready to go ahead and lead us through this time together. And we thank God for how she continues to pinch me under the table, even in spite of me. But she's not going to deny it, nor is she going to confirm that, but it's the truth. But let's say our prayer. God, we're eternally grateful for this day that you have allowed us to participate in and be a part of, and we thank you for your Spirit's abiding presence. Yes, we thank you, dear Lord, for the sunshine as well as the rain. We know that it all has purpose, and you have purpose in mind for us. And so, God, even as we prepare for this time together tonight, we pray, dear Lord, that you would give us what we need in order to be effective in our witness and in our walk. Yes. And then, God, that you will order our steps and lead us in the way in which you would have us to go. So we love you tonight. We honor you and we bless your name. So now, God, we ask that the words of our mouths and the meditations of each and every one of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. You are our strength and our redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. And the people of God said, amen. Somebody give God a thumbs up as you comment on tonight's time together. You know, somebody's faith is going to increase tonight, Lady Kim, because the word says faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Isn't that what it says?
That's what it says.
And so I just believe that we're going to move a little bit higher and then we're going to go deeper tonight as we continue to get clarity around what God's word is saying unto us. His word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. So it not only instructs us, but it directs us. Isn't that right?
That's right.
And so we praise God for the word. Somebody say, thank God for the word tonight. That's right. Thank God for the word. Well, Lady Kim, just share a little bit. Yesterday was a very great day for fathers. Father's Day was yesterday. I'm still in Father's Day mode, relaxing and enjoying everything that has been offered, and then yet things that are yet coming my way.
Amen.
I believe that there are still some things that I haven't seen yet, because the word says that eyes haven't seen,
that's right,
nor ears heard. Even on the Father's Day, neither have that entered into the heart of men, the things that God has in store for those who love him. So I just believe that the best is yet to come. I'm grateful for God, everything that God has done. I thank him for sustaining my life, but I know there's some things in store that I haven't seen yet.
Amen. That's right. That's right.
Good to see you, Brother Ryan. You're on tonight. That's Jeannie Darlene Cleveland's son. He's here taking care of mom as she's rehabbing at home from hip replacement. And he's very active and an intricate part of the ministry. Even when he's here, he gets right involved and goes right to work looking for a task to do. That's the way we should be. We don't have to wait till we get back to our church home, and when we go visiting or when we're away from home, act like we don't know what we're supposed to do.
That's right.
Isn't that right?
That's right.
He was up in the sound booth yesterday working with the media ministry and just continue to use his gift. And that's the way we ought to be as well.
Amen. Amen. All right. Well, yesterday, as you said, was an exciting time in the Lord. You had a wonderful word that I don't think you even finished. But that's okay, because you always have another opportunity on next Sunday to get it all in. Amen. In Plain View was the title of your message. It was a familiar passage of scripture in Luke, the 15th chapter, verses 11 through 24, that talks about the prodigal son. And anybody that's ever been to vacation Bible school, or who attends Sunday school, or even who has been a member of a church any significant time, has always heard the story of the prodigal son. But you had some interesting points on yesterday that made me sit back and say, I've never thought about that. But we know the prodigal son talks about where a man had two sons, and the youngest son said, hey, you know, dad, give me my inheritance that belongs to me. I'm sick of this place, sick of this farm, raising these sheep. No, he didn't say that. He said, give me that which belongs to me, my inheritance, and I'm going to go my way. And the father didn't quibble with him. The father didn't question him. The father didn't argue with him. But the dad gave him what was his. And what was unusual about it, like you said yesterday, is that you usually don't get your inheritance until that parent has passed away. But he asked for his while his dad was still living. Excuse me. And the other interesting thing that you said was that the father didn't just give the inheritance to the youngest son. He gave it to the older son as well. So they both got their inheritance before the parent passed away, because in the
around verse 11, I believe,
12. In verse 12, it says, so he divided to them his livelihood. He divided to them. He didn't say he divided to him. It said he divided to them their livelihood. And so that younger son, we know, went out and spent all that money on all that wild, crazy, ratchet living, and ended up broke, busted, and disgusted. So broke that he had to find a job. And the only job that he could find was feeding a man's pigs or hogs. And even the hog slop looked good. He was so hungry, he said, man, I could eat this hog slop. Now, you got to be hungry if you want to eat some hog slop. He said, and my father has all these servants at home. These hired servants eat better, almost as good as the people in the house. I'm going to go back home. And first of all, I'm going to apologize to God, and I'm going to apologize to my father. And so the Bible says that, you know, and on that part, you said he came to himself. That's when he came to himself. And I think everybody in their lives, there's a point in our life when we come to ourselves.
Okay.
And realize that we're nothing without God, and that we need God's forgiveness. And then we turn back to the Father. So I think that's what the gist of your comments were when you expressed that. And you said that what we need most is hard to see. Most of the time, what we need the most is hard to see. It's right in front of us. But we can't see what it is that we need because we're looking at what we want.
Oh, okay. All right. That's good. I might have to put that in for next week.
Write it down, because I'll be to forget it.
I know. We can't, most of the time, what?
Well, most of the time, what we see, I forgot already. What we see is not what we want. Lord have mercy.
Jesus, help us. Lift your hands. Somebody pray. Pray, church. pray. Pray now.
Hard to see. Oh, see, you done made me go see, even farther.
This is what, this is what I be talking about. Y'all think I be just messing with Lady Kim.
Oh, boy.
We not going to do
well,
that.
Well, I'm just tonight. Talking too fast. That's
now,
all.
Most of the time, like you said, is what we really need. It's what we really want. We want it, but we don't really see what we really need.
Right.
That's in essence what you were saying.
Yes. Right? What we really need is right in front of us. It's not necessarily what we see at that particular time. But anyway.
That's good because people sometimes they get caught up in their wants and not so much their needs.
Right.
God has promised that He would supply all of our needs. Isn't that right?
That's what the
according
word says.
According to His riches and glories and glory by Christ Jesus our Lord. And many times we get so used to our needs being met till we dibble and dabble over into the area of wants and we forget to appreciate how God is supplying our need.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Yeah, that's a good word. That's a good word.
And we look for what we need in all the wrong places.
Okay.
You know, you said it just a few minutes ago. You know, we'll pay for what we want and beg for what we need.
Wow.
So we have to be careful about that.
That's good.
Because that means that our focus is misdirected. Our focus is wrong. So we have to look for what we need in the right place.
Right.
Not in the wrong place.
Okay. And many times it's in plain view, and we lose sight of that which God has already made available to us, because just as you indicated in this parable, the younger son really had no reason to ask for his inheritance as early as he did, but the father broke all protocol. And he granted the request of the younger son and also the older son. I think many times we lose sight of the fact that even though the older son was still home, he probably had some insecurity and some issues that he was wrestling with as well because of what had happened. And normally the inheritance or the blessing goes to the older son first. But the younger son threw a wrench in the whole equation and asked for his early. I don't know if he was just tired of living large or he was just wanting to get out on his own. But we can also apply that to how many times people, even today, don't know how blessed they are. And when you get out there and you see that life is hard and you want to grow up and you want to be grown, but with doing all of that comes responsibility.
Amen.
And so he showed a clear sign of his immaturity because he spent everything that he had. And he didn't really help anybody because when he got to a point of needing help, nobody helped him.
Right. Absolutely. And you know, that's unusual because usually with the system, their caste system, those who were wealthy controlled things, were at the top, and they knew other wealthy people.
That's right.
But it says this young man went off into a far country.
A far country.
Somewhere he didn't even know, or someone who didn't even his pedigree or heritage.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, he couldn't receive any help. Because they didn't know who he was and who his daddy was.
Who his daddy was.
But if they knew who his father was.
Okay.
Amen. Then he would have been able to get some assistance.
Mm-hmm.
So my
mm-hmm.
question today is, do you know who your father is?
Watch out, brother.
Not your biological father, but your spiritual father. You have to know the father in order to access everything that God has for you. And sometimes God has his blessings come through other people.
That's good.
And so if you know the Father, then others recognize that you know the Father and you can get the help that you need. Because guess what? They know that same Father. So a blessing, you know, you can be blessed.
All right.
Amen. Through others.
We about, you can shut it down. You can drop, we can drop the mic on that one.
Just roll it back. To,
yeah, I'm going to play it back so I can get all of that. You said a mouthful.
But
you're right. You're so right. And so, you know, even though it was a message for fathers, but it was also a message for everyone, because it talked about a loving father and knowing who your daddy really is.
Amen.
And that's where our blessings come from, and that's where we receive our inheritance as a result of us being connected with the Father.
And one thing I thought about, you know, thought about it being Father's Day, everybody didn't have a good father.
No.
You know, and sometimes those of us who did have a good father or halfway decent father, you know, even if the father was in the house, he may not have been emotionally connected because he may have worked all the time, or he was tired when he came home from work, but he was there in the house. Everybody didn't have a good father. Some fathers were abusive to their children, abusive to their significant other or their spouse. Everybody didn't have a good father because he may not have even been there. He may have abandoned the family. But one thing for sure, you have a good father in Christ Jesus.
That's right.
God, your heavenly Father, is all that you need. And so you can change that, make that paradigm
shift that narrative
in all in your life and for your children's life. Show up and be present.
That's
be
it.
There.
That's it.
Amen. But God Himself is the perfect Father, and so we can hang our hats on that.
Okay.
And thank God
got
for that.
A couple of comments there. I see what look like Dr. Qualis just. The image of dropping the mic.
Sometimes God gives us what we want and need at the same time. Hallelujah. That's in Proverbs 18:22.
Okay.
Yes, He'll give us what we need and what we want. But guess what? We got to know Him first.
We got to know Him.
Amen. Because He said He'll provide all of our need according to His riches in glory. You said that at the beginning. He'll provide all our need.
Absolutely.
And when last time I checked the record, all meant all.
That's right.
He
That's
didn't
right.
say I'll provide some of your need. He said all your needs. So when you start worrying about things that you need, not things that you want. We all want stuff. You know, I want a fancy car. You know, I want a bank account full of money. But
that's hey, some of your that's on your want list.
Not yeah. Well, it's on my want list, but it's not on my necessary list.
Oh, okay. You just you rolling tonight. You got a want list,
a necessary list,
and a needs list. All right, that's good.
Well, let's go on because I'm spending too much time on this.
No, you're on point, Lady Kim, because you know the message was in plain view, because all of that is accessible to us, and God has provided for us the necessary things that we need in order to be who He's called us to be.
Right, right.
Matthew 6:33 gives us a blueprint. Seek first the kingdom of God.
That's it.
And His righteousness.
Yes, and all.
Then all these other things shall be added unto
right.
us. But we allow
it
get it mixed up and allow the enemy to override what God has set in motion and causes temptation to come into play. And then we get caught up in seeing what other people have and want to have that which somebody else might have
right.
for ourselves.
That's right.
And so if we stay the course, follow the mandate that God has prescribed for us and the destiny that He has stamped our name on, then we will be victorious. John, 1 John says, beloved above all things, I wish that thou would prosper and be in good health, even as your soul prospers.
Yes.
And so the promises are sure. And so we have to stand on the promises of God, even when we haven't received the possession.
Yes.
Somebody ought to say amen.
Amen.
And so we have to trust the timing of God. And that's going to be a continuation of that message on next Sunday. I don't think I got to the first point, did I? He saw him from afar off.
Yes, uh-huh. He saw him. Yes.
And that God sees us. You know, he knows what we're going through. That's a word for somebody tonight, because you may have it in your mind that nobody knows, nobody cares, nobody is concerned about what you're going through. But know that God has his eyes on you. And here it is. He'll never let you go. He'll never let you off. And he loves you too much to leave you where you are. So if you're going through a situation right now, it's only temporary and it shall come to pass. Because God is getting ready to bring you to the place that he has already destined for your life. But you've got to trust him even when you can't trace him.
Amen.
You got some more comments
here.
Yes,
Dr. Qualley says, but to have a soul that prospers.
That's
right. My soul prospers. Your soul prospers. That's all you need.
Yep.
And she says, she's so glad that God sees me.
Thank you, God.
I'm so glad that God sees.
That's right.
And not only does he see, he provides.
He provides.
Yes.
That's right.
And I thank God for that.
That's it.
Yeah, so much richness there.
That's
Amen.
It.
Yes.
And so we're going to continue that little word for next Sunday, and because we want to talk about the compassion, and then the prodigal, when he came back home, his father saw him from afar off. He had compassion on him, and that's part of what you were talking about, because this generation needs people to see them, Reverend, and need people to have compassion on them. But the other part of it is that the father dressed him. And so we'll get into that on next Sunday. But y'all go ahead and read that 15th chapter if you have an opportunity. And if you come up with some points like Lady Kim did, then I'll include those in the sermon for next Sunday. Somebody give God a thumbs up right there. Let me see, a heart or something like that. All right. All right. Well, what else you have, Lady Kim? You had quite a bit of notes there. You were working pretty hard yesterday.
This part is not. He connected himself. No, one thing that you said that was good, that that God will go to a great extent to show his love for
That's
us.
That's right. That's right.
You know, and just like that the parables in Luke the 15th chapter, you know, there were three parables within that chapter. It was the parable of the lost sheep, you know, where the shepherd left the 99 and
That's
went
right.
to find the one. There was the parable of the lost coin, where the woman lost the coin and she swept that house until she found
That's
that
right.
coin. Then after she found the coin, she invited her neighbors
to come
and rejoice,
That's
you
right.
know. And I was thinking, well, she called her neighbors to rejoice. She just spent what she just
spent.
She spent
that little big piece of money, huh?
So, I don't know. But anyway, and you illustrated that God goes to great extents to look for us and bring us home and help us to come back home.
Yeah.
And God is always there.
Right.
He's
right.
always looking and searching and sweeping and
That's right.
You know.
He wants to rescue us. And so some very interesting comments on the thread yesterday, and then talked to several people. But you never know where people are, and the word that goes out, you never know how God is dealing with people where they are. And sometimes people look for a word that's going to make them shout and run and jump. But many times God wants to pierce the heart and get right to the root of the matter so that they can genuinely hear what God is trying to say to them in their situation.
Amen.
All right. Amen. You had anything else, or you just want to move on?
Well, we'll move on. Yeah, time, and this is a long chapter, but I know we're not going to go through.
No, we're not.
We're just going to highlight
That's right.
some
That's
things
right.
in Leviticus chapter 25, but we can save that for next week, because you're going to do it again, right?
That's what if the Lord says, so it might change between now and
you're right about it, because God is
Sunday.
Like that.
That's right.
He'd switch it up in a minute.
We might even talk about the anatomy of lostness. Because, see, all of that was locked up in there.
That's good.
And a lot of people are lost and don't even know it. The older son that stayed at home, you know, he was lost. You know, and you don't really get into the matter about how his attitude really blocked him and how he probably had a lot of insecurity and a lot of things going on in his mind. But he was in the house, and so many people are lost in the house.
But we're
not going to spend too much more time tonight, but no, the Lord might shift. It might be a shift in the atmosphere, Lord might just do something different. But we're going to definitely look at that, stay in that 15th chapter.
Okay. So if
y'all have some ideas, go ahead and type them in there. I know y'all thinking as well. I see you there, but go ahead and let us know what you're thinking about. But we're in the 25th chapter of Leviticus tonight, and even the rain dried up. We were talking so hard about this word because it stopped raining. Isn't that something? But this is a very interesting chapter, Lady Kim, because it deals with some very substance. What's the word I'm trying to say? Substance. Is that it?
Sustenance.
Yeah, substance. That's what I said. Didn't I say that? Kind of, sort of.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Right. Okay. But it has a lot of meat here.
It does.
But it's very transferable, if you will. It's a transferable word to our lives even today. Mm-hmm. Even though this is a time where they're trying to set in motion what God really would work for us today if we just apply this word and live by it, you know, because it broke down some of that class system and all of this other stuff that we're yet wrestling with. But the year of Jubilee, and then it talked a little bit about how important it is for us to get that rest and how important it is for us to be restored and how God wants some time to be set aside so that we can be refreshed and renewed for the journey that yet lies ahead.
Right.
Some people call it sabbatical, where you have to just pull back. And what we did a couple of weeks ago can be considered a time of restoration.
Absolutely.
Even though I was trying to get up back on the ship for 2 days, I was hanging off the side.
What happened?
Oh, okay, but...
Why were you doing that?
All right, no, I'm not going to go there.
You're so silly.
So, but no, everybody needs a refreshing, a revival, a restoration, a renewal to happen in order that you might continue to gain focus and insight and understand the destiny and the purpose that God has for your life. Many times it's in those moments that you can hear God when you pull back and pull away and get a chance to look at the whole picture, you know, without really being right there in the midst of it.
Yes.
But we miss being at ATOP, don't we?
Yes, being at church. Yeah. You know, we rarely miss Sunday service.
But we have an exceptional core of people
that
share on yesterday that are ready and that they are well equipped and they're armed with the word, you know. And so we just want to say again how much we appreciate all of those who stepped up and stood in the gap. And then this past weekend, of course, with Big Dre's. And you know what I found out? We were talking about that. There was so much going on that was pulling people in different directions. Something was happening in Orange Mound. Something was happening downtown. And then we were over on Riverdale. But normally we have that Big Dre's not on that Father's Day weekend.
Right.
It's usually the last weekend in June, I believe, isn't it? Or something like that.
It was the first weekend.
The first weekend, that's right. Right after Memphis in May. And so we just got caught up, I think, in a lot of the...
the second weekend.
second weekend.
It's always around vacation, Bible school.
And close out. Yeah.
The end of vacation.
Right. And we just kind of got caught up in all of that, and people were just all over the place. And I found out today that a lot of people had planned to be there, but they got caught up and didn't get a chance to come. But hats off to those who work so hard. And, you know, we have some extremely proud workers and people who finish with some finishers at ATOP. I'll put it that way, finishers, who will stay to the very end and make sure that everything is taken care of and that people are, you know, doing what they're supposed to do, and all the way from top to bottom. Like you said yesterday, if I start calling names, I always leave out somebody. But from top to bottom, you know, we have a ministry of servanthood, a ministry of servants, and, you know, a ministry that's willing to meet the task at hand and do what's necessary in order to complete the assignment.
Amen. Yeah. Amen.
So we're grateful. And we had a big birthday celebration on yesterday, too.
Yes, we did. And that's another thing. You know, I tried to stop the birthday celebration, the reception, because I know we had just come off of Big Dre's barbecue, and then we turned around and they did a reception for my birthday. I'm so appreciative of all those hard workers, like you said. They said, no, Lady Kim, we're going to go on with your birthday celebration. We want to, you know, honor you. And that made me feel so good, feel so blessed. And so thank you to those who worked so hard back there in the kitchen area preparing. And, you know, just not only preparing the reception, but they had to go out and purchase the food and fix the, you know,
set it up
and make it look nice, and I'm just thankful.
And that cake was the bomb.
Yes, it was.
Is it any more left?
A little piece, yes.
Oh, okay, a little piece. We bought over half a cake.
Enough for you.
Okay. All right. So, Brother Norris, it's good to see you on tonight, and we praise God for you, man. We miss you, and we were praying, and, you know, we were there with you in Holly Springs, and I tell you, our hearts are still bleeding, and we know that it was a sudden loss of your brother, but it takes time to, you know, grieve and to get over. You don't get over it. You just have to
get through it.
That's right. And so know that we're here for you, and everybody was praying for you yesterday. I saw your wife. I kind of looked around. I didn't see you, but know that we're here for you. All right. Well, Leviticus 25, do you have an outline of what you usually look at, Lady Kim?
I do have an outline, and I use an outline that comes from a particular ministry, and it's to be like Christ.
Okay.
And I like the way they outline the chapters of Leviticus in particular. And so there are 55 verses, right, in this chapter, but we can break them down quite simply and quite easily. First, in chapter 25, verses 1 through 7, talks about the seventh year Sabbath.
Okay.
And that's when God spoke to Moses on Mount Sinai, instructed the Israelites to keep a seventh year Sabbath. The Hebrews were to farm the land for 6 years, but on the seventh, they were to let the land rest.
Wow.
And then verses 8 through 22 of the 25th chapter of Leviticus, the 50th year, which is called Jubilee. When the Israelites entered Canaan, the land was divided up and given to families by casting lots.
Mm-hmm.
So they drew straws to see who would get what piece of land. Each family received a portion of land that was to remain theirs forever. The Israelites were instructed to celebrate every 50th year as Jubilee.
Okay.
On the year of Jubilee, all the land that had been leased was to be returned to the original owners, the families of those who had received it by casting lots.
Hmm.
The Jubilee year was also a year of rest for the land. The Israelites' fields were to remain unplanted and unharvested. Following the year of Jubilee, if a family wanted to lease their land to someone, they were to charge a price based on how many years were remaining until the next Jubilee. If the Israelites kept God's instructions regarding the seventh year Sabbath and the year of Jubilee, God would bless the land and make it produce in abundance.
Wow.
So when I thought about that, I thought about how, you know, when we follow God's word, when we follow his commands, there's also always a blessing at the end.
That's right. That's right. That's good.
That was 23. That was verses 8 through 22.
Okay.
And then verses 23 through 28. Talked about the sale and redemption of land. The plots of land in Canaan were never to be sold permanently because the land belonged to God and the land could only be leased. Also, if a poor man leased his land due to financial trouble, he retained the right to redeem the land. A close relative also had the right to redeem the land. If the land was not redeemed, it remained in the possession of the one who leased it until the year of Jubilee. And then verses 29 through 34 talked about the sale and redemption of houses. See, a lot was going on in this Leviticus, the 25th chapter. In regards to the sale of houses in walled cities, if the house was in a city and sold, the seller had the right to redeem it for 1 year following the sale. If they did not redeem it, the buyer became the owner of the property and did not have to return it during the Jubilee year. There was one exception to this rule, and that was if the house belonged to a Levite, because we know the Levites were the priests and they didn't own anything. They were provided for by the people. But if the house belonged to a Levite, the house had to be returned in the year of Jubilee because the Levites didn't receive a portion of land when the Israelites took possession of Canaan. Additionally, a Levite had the right to redeem his house at any time. The 1 year time limit didn't apply to the Levites. And then verses 35 through 46, if an Israelite man fell on hard times and was unable to support his family, this was the laws related to poor Israelites in 35 through 46. If he fell on hard times and was unable to support his family with food and shelter, and it became his rich neighbor's responsibility to give him a place to live and food to eat, the neighbor was not allowed to loan him money at an interest or sell him food for a profit. So this was how the Israelites who fell on hard time were provided for. The hired Israelite was freed from his service in the year of Jubilee, and the Hebrews were allowed to buy slaves from nations around them, but they were not to make slaves of their countrymen. So they couldn't make slaves of each other, but they could make slaves of those in surrounding nations. And then the last few verses in the 25th chapter, verses 47 through 55, if an Israelite became poor and sold himself to a foreigner living in Canaan, then he could be redeemed by another Israelite, or he could buy his own freedom if he became wealthy. The price to buy his freedom was based on the number of years until the next Jubilee. If the Israelite was not redeemed, he would be given liberty on the year of Jubilee.
Wow.
So that covered the whole 25th chapter, the 55 verses broken down into those six different categories or sections.
Okay. Well, one of the things that really kind of, well, all of that was rich because it's applicable to us even today. But it talked about resources. I heard you mention rest.
Mm-hmm.
You talked a little bit about the riches.
Yes.
And then you talked about the responsibility and redemption.
Amen.
And so those are all tied up in that 25th chapter.
Mm-hmm.
But if we were able to apply this to our time even today, it would balance out the economy.
Yes, it would.
And there would be no such thing as the rich getting richer and the poor getting poorer.
That's
you
true.
Follow me? And yes. So I think that was part of what was set in motion so that there would be a time of rest and there would be a time of redemption. Mm-hmm. And then those who were struggling and straining would have to, they would have a reprieve in terms of somebody helping and assisting them till they got back on their feet.
Right.
But somehow we lost sight of that, and God had already put something in place for us, and even as it relates to how he was establishing the year of Jubilee for the children of Israel.
Amen.
And I know that 50 years was the indication of the year of Jubilee, but every seventh year, that was a time where something would happen and some things were set in motion to relieve some of the pressure that different people might have or might be struggling with.
Amen. And it was also a time of rest for the land.
Right.
You know.
On that seventh year, they rested, didn't they? They worked it six years.
Yes, they worked it 6 years. And then the seventh year, they had to allow the land to rest.
So they didn't sow or plant anything during that time.
No. They had to live off of what?
They had already stored
up. Of the 6 year, yes. And, you know, looking at that, I think I read somewhere that if they follow that order, that mandate 6 years and then 7 year rest, that 6 year will provide for them.
Right.
For the seventh year. And the eighth year.
Mm-hmm.
Because remember, the seventh year had to rest. The eighth year, they had to replant.
Yeah.
And so they wouldn't get anything until that ninth year.
Mm-hmm.
So it would hold them for 3 years if they follow God's way.
Mm-hmm. And so it was not so much about trying to outdo or trying to outlive or trying to get ahead. It was about managing that which God had given each family or each tribe, and to be good stewards over that which he had blessed them with. And so when we're good stewards, then the reserve, we understand that we have to put aside something for when famine comes or when lack comes. And many times we show our immaturity because we don't think about, that's similar to the prodigal son, we don't think about what the future is going to hold or what tomorrow is going to bring. But we can't worry about that, but we have to make sure that we, plan ahead.
Amen.
You know, you Amen. Follow what I'm saying?
Absolutely. And, you know, it goes back, and I've never farmed. I never even planted any vegetables or anything. But I know one thing. The farmer does not eat all his crop.
Uh-oh.
The farmer does not sell all of his crop. The farmer does three things. The farmer sells some. The farmer eats some, and the farmer keeps some.
Right, so, right. You roll it. You roll it.
I like
you
that.
You roll it. What'd you say?
Do you
remember?
Eat some. The farmer keeps some.
Okay.
And he sells some.
Okay. All
so,
right. All right.
But I think one of the things that we have to understand is that we harp on is that we forget to keep some.
That's right. That's right.
You know, what we want to do, we sell some to gain some money.
Right.
Then we get that money, we spend it all, we eat it all up.
Right.
You
we
know,
eat the seed.
We eat the seed, and then we look around and we don't have anything in which to plant. See, they had to maintain some seed so when the next harvest came, they would have something to plant.
That's good.
If they
That's
ate
good.
All the seed, if they sold all the seed, then they wouldn't have anything to replenish the land.
Mm-hmm.
So as people of God, it's important. We need to take a lesson. It's important that we keep some because you know what? A rainy day is coming.
That's
An
right.
emergency is coming.
That's
a
right.
famine is coming. Some trouble is coming. Keep on living. You hadn't had none yet? Keep on living. It will come.
And usually what happens, you just like you said earlier, the paradox is we go after everything that we want.
Mm-hmm.
And we ask for what we need. How did you say that?
We beg for what we need.
Beg
no, we... Yes, we... we buy what we want and we beg for what we need.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, because we spend up all the money, you know, all buying all our wants. Mm-hmm. And so when the famine comes, when the need comes, we don't have anything to provide for the need.
Right.
That's why you have all these GoFundMes. I'm not against GoFundMes, you know, but that's a lot of that could be done away with it for the simple reason if we plan properly.
Yeah.
And I understand a lot of dynamics go into
that's
that.
Right.
You
that's
know,
right.
We have the working poor. You know, we struggle. Some people struggle to make ends meet. You know, I know rent is sky high, food is sky high, wages are low and inappropriate. But if you do it God's way, we said it earlier, He'll provide all of your need according to His riches and glory.
That's
by
right.
Christ Jesus. So pay your tithe, pay your bills, put a little to the side, and watch God work it out on your behalf.
That's good, because He'll give you enough if you obedient to what you give back to Him. You'll have more than enough.
Absolutely.
For what you need to do. And so, you know, even when we start talking about this, is a stewardship lesson, and it's all wrapped up in that chapter. Many times people try to get out of something that it took them 25 years to get into.
Amen.
And expect results to happen like the next year.
Amen.
But you just told us that even with that rest period, the fields had to rest mm-hmm. for a whole year. Mm-hmm. So it took time for them to sow in order for them to reap what was being planted.
Mm-hmm.
And many times we don't want to wait till the harvest comes before we start trying to dig up the seed that we planted.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. And that rest, like you said, is very important. You know, allowing ourselves to rest can also be a statement of faith. You know, it can be tempting to work 24/7 on things we value because it's easy to wrongly believe all of our success depends on our work ethic. And our success does not depend on our work ethic. It depends on how we appropriately
manage
mm-hmm. what God, the resources that God has given us.
That's right.
So
that's
if
right.
we appropriately manage that by giving God, He is first, seeking first the kingdom of God and all His righteousness, then that word says all those other things shall be added. So whatever you worried about, just do right by God and He'll do right by you.
That's good.
Amen.
That's it. All right, Reverend, you really nailed that in terms of bringing everything into focus. This is a powerful chapter, and the application for us today is key
mm-hmm.
as we follow the mandate, and it takes the whole village. It doesn't just, you know, one or two people. We have it's a teaching moment,
mm-hmm.
and the process starts when you start trusting God, and it's not a quick fix process. It's going to take time. If it took you however many years to get into what situation you're in now, it's going to take a minute for you to get out of that.
Amen.
But you have to start somewhere.
You do.
You can't keep just going digging deeper and deeper because you're going to end up hitting rock bottom.
Amen. That's correct.
So this year of Jubilee symbolizes a fresh start. And all of us need a fresh start. It symbolizes liberation. And we can apply these principles that we talked about even here tonight by trusting God's timing
mm-hmm.
and for rest and for renewal for mm-hmm. our lives, and allowing Him to bring about restoration and freedom
mm-hmm.
from the bondages that we find ourselves in. That's mm-hmm. that's all wrapped up in there.
Mm-hmm.
And many times we get caught up in all of the cares of the world till we end up being held in bondage by all of the things that we have, you know, allowed to entangle us.
That's right.
But this word also encourages us to practice forgiveness and to seek reconciliation.
Amen.
and to trust in God's plan for our lives. Mm-hmm. Just as the year of Jubilee brought hope and new beginnings for the Israelites, I believe that we too can find hope and renewal in Christ as we trust in his promises for our future.
Amen.
Yeah,
yes,
I believe we can.
We can
do it.
Yes, we can.
So those of you who are viewing tonight, we are certainly grateful, and we praise God for each of you. If there are any prayer requests, you can go ahead and start putting those in now. And as we prepare to come to the close tonight, you can read that 25th chapter again at your leisure if you didn't have an opportunity to read it. And we trust that you will continue to believe this word and trust God's word and allow this word to be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway. And trust the timing of God and know that he's an on-time God. His promises are sure and his satisfaction is yet guaranteed. If God said he would do a thing, he shall bring it to pass. And many times we want to rush God, but you got to trust his timing.
Yes,
he's trying to do something to prepare you for what he yet has in store for you.
Amen. Amen. That's good. So, you know, I guess some final thoughts, since I don't see any prayer requests yet, some final thoughts. You know, we need to make sure that we check our calendars. And what I mean by check our calendars, how busy is your calendar?
Okay.
Do you take time to rest?
Okay.
And as you're taking time to rest, do you take time to communicate with Father God?
Mm-hmm.
We need that time of rest. We need to take time to talk to God because God cares about our calendars. We are to structure our lives so that big chunks of our time are dedicated to meet with God. What is your calendar? Whatever your calendar says something about your priorities.
Wow.
So what would it take to make sure your calendar reflects devotion to God? Realizing we need to constantly recenter our hearts on God, who cares about how we order and organize our time. Yes, God cares about our calendars. He cares about our order of our time.
That's good. That's good. So we have to be good stewards. I think that's what that all boils down
mm-hmm.
to, being good stewards over that which God has blessed us with.
Mm-hmm.
We're blessed to be a blessing. We're saved to do some saving.
Loved
by God so that we might love somebody else. So that's a good word for tonight,
mm-hmm.
Lady Kim, and that 25th chapter is power packed. And we praise God for each of you who have shared in this time together with us tonight. Do you see any prayer requests there, Lady Kim?
Not on the feed.
Okay, but you
and
have
I haven't
some,
received
some standard.
Any, yes, I haven't okay. received any text messages. But again, I know you mentioned Brother Norris C. and the loss of his brother. That funeral was held this past Saturday. And so we want to continue to lift up the C. family in our prayers. We want to lift up Sister Tamika Peck and Brother Charles Peck in the loss of Sister Tamika's nephew. I have not received any arrangements yet, but I will let you know as soon as we find out. We want to lift up Sister Angela and Brother Jim Hargrave and the loss of Brother Jim's aunt. That was his mother's last living sibling.
Wow.
And so we want to pray for that family. That funeral was held this past Friday in Chicago, Illinois. And then we want to lift up Sister Marcy West and the loss of her son. That funeral will be held this coming Saturday at 3 o'clock p.m. at E.H. Ford Funeral Home on Elvis Presley.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, Lady Kim, will you go ahead and close us out then with a word of prayer tonight?
Yes. One other thing. If you are a new member and you have not completed new members orientation, the Lunch and Learn class, it will be held this coming Saturday at 10 o'clock a.m. So we'll be looking for all of our new members. Even if you joined in January, if you did not complete new members class, we're looking for you. So make sure, or if you joined last year and didn't do new members class, come on out. We're looking for you on Saturday.
Okay.
Let us pray. Gracious God in heaven, we thank you for this time of study. We thank you for reiterating to us the necessity for rest and restoration. We thank you, O God, that you once restored us back to you. And so we give you praise tonight for restoration, spiritual restoration. God, we pray for those who are having a difficult time, whether it's with a relationship, whether it's financially, whether it's emotionally, whether it's spiritually. We ask, God, that you would give the comfort that you need, O God, that they need, O God, in order to be restored and be made whole. We lift up Evangelist Darlene Cleveland, O God, as she recovers from her hip replacement surgery. We ask, O God, that you would continue to heal her body. Thank you, O God, for a successful surgery and for relieving the pain. We pray for all the bereaved families in our congregation. We know that the pain of grief, O God, is real, and it's a process. So we ask, O God, that the grief they may be feeling, O God, not overwhelm them or overtake them, but let them see your glory, O God, in the life of the loved one that they lost. And we thank you, O God, for all that you're doing through Anointed Temple of Praise. We ask that you would continue to bless our church family. And most of all, bless our pastor, God, as he continues to lead us where you would have us to go. Now, God, we thank you. Give us rest and peace, sweet peace on tonight. Until we meet again, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. All right. Thank you, Lady Kim, for that prayer.
Thank you, everybody, for joining Bible study tonight. We'll see you on next Monday, or we'll see you Saturday or Sunday. Sunday school at 8:30, worship service at 9:45. We love you guys. See you. Bye-bye.